So we're actually recording this for some folks that couldn't make it today, particularly some Crossroad folks. But I think if it's going to be available, we can make it available to some of the other student ministry workers aren't here. We've been doing this for a while now, these joint prayer meetings, and in the last year or two, because of my sabbatical and just other things, I don't think we've actually gone over why we do this, why I think it's so important, and why, as I teased you earlier, this is probably one of the most important meetings for me to be at, and to have and to see. So I don't have a handout for you. I was actually working on a handout yesterday, but I thought I just need to have decent stuff to say, and if it's helpful, I can give you my notes. But I want to cast vision for why this meeting, I think, is important. Now, I'm not trying to convince you. I'm trying to share with you how I see things. If you're not convinced, we need to know about that. So if you think this is a waste of time, then tell me and tell Phil. We'll figure things out. Our main thing here is to serve you guys. So I just want to spend a few minutes going over the vision of what I think this meeting has been, what it is maybe for this season of our English Congregation BCC Campus Chinatown thing, and then potentially down the road, should we have more than one English service in Chinatown? Should there be like 200 people in this meeting? So forth like that. Should we have 4 youth directors and 6 adult directors and so forth? So with that, there's nothing to look at first, but actually, before we do that, let me draw your attention to the back of your prayer, concert of prayer thing, handout. I put that here because I resisted praying through this, and I've done this consistently for a couple years now, because I really don't want... Okay, look up here for a sec. There's two ways that you can look at a prayer meeting. They're not exclusive. One way is to pray through a lot of important stuff. Someone's sick, let's go pray. Expansion, let's go pray. There's another way, which I think is not exclusive, but is one that I tend to lean more on. There's a kind of prayer meeting that when you're done with it, you learn a little bit more about prayer. You spent time praying, and you hopefully come out inspired to pray more. Does that make sense? I'm glad I go to pray for major intercession crises, like someone's in a car accident, we're going to pray for them at vigil at the hospital. That is very, very helpful and very important, and my prayer life does grow. But aside from another crisis coming, okay, which I don't want lots of crises, I kind of want to have a prayer meeting that helps us grow in prayer, as well as pray for things. So I intentionally am not praying for Crossroads student ministry specific stuff. But again, you have opportunities to pray in your time. I listen to people when they pray. That's why I walk the room. It's not because I'm bored or stretching my legs. I'm actually listening to you pray, agreeing with your prayer, joining your prayer group without sitting in your group because you didn't save me a seat. So these are all these prayer items here. They've been submitted by various leaders. So TBR leaders, Steve, although it was Emily's field I saw on the thing, but oh well, anyway, so TBR teens from Matt Thompson, Youth Sunday School from Josh, PD Pedaz also from Steve, College from Calvin, Crossroad from Philip, and then the updates are from me. So there are things here, and I do want to kind of give you some quick announcements. So if you go to number 3 quick announcements. Our annual meeting is the 28th. Everyone in this room, I believe, should be a member, because you're serving in either youth or student ministries or a Crossroad Corps. I believe those are all member positions. Correct me if I'm wrong later. So the annual meeting is the 28th. It is considered, among the staff, a high and holy day. You will see Philip me dress. I should not record this. You will see us dressed up, not that we don't dress up regularly, but, and it's, you can't go on vacation those days. And so this is an important day. And as a member, it's really important. I want to alert you. There's so many things going on, but I want to alert you to actually one major piece. And actually the student workers have known this because I share this in this meeting. There is a staffing update. This year's budget funds three positions we did not fund last year. They're not exactly new. One of them is why this room is configured this way. There's a Mandarin Fellowship happening on Newton campus, very exciting, and big part of what our church is sensing for the Chinese side, and so they meet in this room. It's not a worship service yet, so please keep this language is pretty important, especially on the Chinese side, speaking side, but it's a fellowship, and so one of the positions is the Mandarin position, helping both campuses, because that's sort of how the Chinese staff are thinking about it. They're not exactly sure how they want to deploy, and depends on the person's gifts, but they're going to hire a Mandarin person. We're going to hire a Mandarin minister to help guide, help support Chinatown, and also help do stuff here. But there's two positions that directly affect our English congregation in Chinatown. One is hiring a director of student ministries, which will oversee a vast kingdom, whatever. Very, very, I mean, yeah. And so this person will oversee all the Everything the spotlight touches, yeah. They oversee youth and college on Chinatown campus, which is a lot of responsibility. When I was hired, I was just the youth minister. Okay, by God's grace, teams have been raised. We picked up. Actually, when I got here, actually didn't even have to touch really TWR. Someone else kind of did that. Then got TWR, and then started meeting with TWR staff, Sunday school staff, youth teen fellowship staff. Then we had one conference. Then we added a summer conference. Then added another winter conference. And along the way, we picked up PD and a bunch of other things, which were doing great things, but they weren't under the umbrella. So we're going to hire that. Because of that position being transitioning into that position, we will wrap up our student ministry assistant position. That's why I had Emily leave. So, no, I'm just kidding. No, her sister's in town. Oh, man, it's recorded. No, we're cool. So, you know, without getting to that, letting her share if you want to ask her, but the student ministry assistant position was designed to help support the ministry while we prepared to, you know, ideally have a pastoral full-time position. So we're excited that this is going to roll into that. Hi. So that's the thing. The other position, the third position, is a full-time PD PDAS director position. Okay, now, how can I say without muting? Obviously, there are certain people that have experience in those roles, and we encourage everyone to apply, and we will, by God's grace, trust He'll provide us the best person, and we'll pick the best person that we can best discern. So pray for that. That has to pass the congregational vote, but the deacons and elders have kind of okayed it, and so we're waiting for the congregational vote to activate those searches. So some of you, this couple weeks, I will be pinging. I have pinged like months or years ago about a search committee potential, so just be on the lookout for that. But that's really huge for our congregation. Now, what am I going to do with all that time? Oh, I'm going to, you know, Aruba, Jamaica, whatever. No, actually, one, I think, ooh, yeah, you guys, nice. You guys are the world travelers. Okay, So part of what I want to do actually segues then to really what this is. Oh, first let me also say there's a missions conference on the 16th to 18th. So youth workers know that that's Friday night. Same with Crossroad people. This year, for a variety of reasons, we are going in-house speakers. So on the Chinese side, I believe it's Tim Fung, the son of our pastor emeritus, Jacob Fung, and a missionary of ours. I think it's Tim. Last I checked the thing. And then Pastor Daniel will preach on the Chinese, on the Cantonese side, and I'll preach on the English side. I think I'm preaching on both campuses. So I have a big heart for missions, and I'm on the missions committee, and so I'm excited to do that. But just because I'm not famous, please consider still coming, to these things. Actually, it will probably be more important because a great outside speaker talks about missions in general. But actually, I want to share some of my mini vision for our, at least the English congregations for missions. That relates to, again, what I'd like to do. If I had the chance to, over a transitional period of a year or so, transition fully these responsibilities to capable leaders, what would I do with my meantime? I would do what I think is probably the most important thing I need to do as a congregational pastor. I think there's two or three things. One is to preach as best as I can. All my student worker people, we've been training small group stuff for a while. We've beat this into you. The best thing I can do to make your small groups awesome is not give you more training. It's to make the sermons paying attentionable. You know what I'm saying? So like, you have to listen to them. They have to be clear. They have to hopefully be spirit-filled and compelling. So that's, you know, I understand that. And if we've designed a system where your small groups talk about the sermons, then it's very, very appropriate to expect us to do our utmost for the sermons. And I want to give more time. Boy, I've never recorded this thing. This has actually been my most honest time of the month to share, and I have to really think about that. Truth be told, I've been very dissatisfied with my preaching for about the last 5 years. I feel like it's not nearly where I'd like it to be in terms of time. But I'm told that's just normal, right? All the pastoral staff don't feel like they get enough time. But the other thing I would really want to do is equipping, a leadership development. The third piece would be vision, but that's a little down the road, but equipping. Why do I say this is the most important meeting? Because between Sunday service preaching and this meeting, if I preach well on Sundays, if Philip and Pastor Tom, Pastor Steve and I, and others preach well on Sundays, that will draw a crowd, maybe, but it won't form a church. It'll get more Christian attendees, but it won't form a church. It will be good until that stops, but our ministries won't develop, our small groups won't improve, our classes won't get better. This meeting, or training as a concept, I should say, is something that I think our ministry has never fully developed. Okay, and I've got a lot of thoughts on this. Phil, I'm sure, has a lot of thoughts too. But, you know, BCC in Boston has been blessed by people coming to the city, high caliber people, right, from other churches, okay? And so, but in the, you know, early 2000s, those people were less attracted to ethnic-specific, quote-unquote, Chinese churches, right? They're going to more exciting, probably newer churches, great churches in the area, church plants and stuff. And so I think really the reason why God has allowed our English ministry to have some growth is because people stayed and people grew, like, in equipping. You can tell a lot by a church by the programs. You look at all the things they do, outreach, and that's really impressive. A deeper assessment, you can tell a lot about a church by the quality of their leaders. That's a much better assessment, okay? But there's a deeper assessment. You can tell a lot about the quality of the church by their development of leaders. You can look at great leaders, but, you know, do we raise up those musicians? Do we raise up those small group leaders? Or do they just move into our area and are attracted to a very prominent church? There's nothing wrong with that. Wouldn't hurt. I know you and I feel like it would be kind of nice to just automatically attract really capable small group leaders from who are moving to Boston. But our commitment as staff, and me as a pastor, as a equipper, and as a church, and all of you actually, is equipping. So leadership development, that is huge. Secretly, golly, I'm doing stuff behind the scenes, talking to some people about missions mobilizing, about worship leading training, and women's ministry. Oh, I shouldn't. Well, okay, women's ministry stuff. Just manage your expectations of that. That's going to take a long time, but just yeah. So those are the things I'd like to work on while also supervising more staff and getting people, you know, getting the youth ministry stuff out of my plate in a pace that doesn't hurt the new staff of the ministry. Does that make sense? Because it's easy for me to go, oh, here, you know, like that. But I care a great deal about all these ministries. So five vision casting things. You don't have to write them down because they're probably not that important. I do not pretend this is a sermon. This is just vision casting about why I think this meeting is so important in this way. Take it or leave it. Give some feedback later on. But I've got 9 minutes. Okay, so number one. I'm going to share all five things and go through each of them really quick. Number one is alignment. Number two is synergy. Number three is efficiency. Number four is icky. And number five is prayer. So number one is alignment. Number two, synergy. Number three, efficiency. Number four, icky, spelled I-C-H-Y. And number five, prayer. Okay? And then I'll give some caveats at the end. So number one, why do I think this is important? Why did I ask Philip to consider doing this? Number one is alignment. I was just listening to people pray, and there's a college person with a crossroad person praying for our core. That these people that are kind of sort of on the fringe of our church would feel connected and maybe desire to serve and maybe join our core. Okay, that paradigm, as some of you know, is actually in Crossroad, in college, and in youth ministry. That paradigm goes through our entire structures now. So there's a value alignment. So right now we are trying to train TBR kids how to be small group literate as Crossroad people. Does that make sense? From a very early age. And we're trying to train high schoolers. I mean, they may not all stay at BCC, obviously. God will send them wherever. But we're trying to teach them that you don't have to be the leader to really contribute to small group, to be a blessing. You don't even have to have the leader, quote-unquote, facilitation skills. We're trying to get them in high school to do that. We're actually de-emphasizing somewhat the importance of the music skills, or the programming skills, or the communication, like, you know, internet savvy skills, design skills, for what I think is totally needed in the church. We need more, like, shepherding people in the church. You can have too many musicians, trust me. You can have too many guitar players. You can have too many designers that make cool signs and stuff. You can't have too many people that know how to love other people and know how to make people feel cared for and welcome. So that's a huge part of it. So alignment of our ministries. And so an alignment of all these values. People have asked me, some of you in this room, what's the congregation's vision for an English-speaking congregation in a Chinese heritage church? And my quick answer is, I'm pretty sure I won't know the vision for our congregation until we get our congregation more aligned. Otherwise, I'll just be, you know, picking one fellowship. This is college ministry's vision. Let's just make it the whole group. Or this is Crossroads' vision. Let's make it. That doesn't work. I think when the whole thing is more aligned, then as we all talk here as leaders, we can pray and seek that God would give us a particular vision within BCC to serve in this, because our unique congregation, to really fulfill the mission to BCC. Does that make sense? So alignment, the fact that we actually have all doing the same stuff, college and we talk about transition, like, you know, college students to Crossroads students, they are about as transitioned except for people, because they do the same thing Crossroad people do. They still do the same sermon discussion guide. They operate in the same principles of small group leadership. The only difference is people. They just don't know the people. And hopefully, you know, as we continue to grow, there's ways to make that bridge happen. But as opposed to the churches I grew up in, the high school ministry was totally different from the college ministry, doing totally something else from the young adult ministry, which is actually, I think, how BCC was, and actually, I think, how most churches are, because the only way you can get alignment is if you just stay here long enough, and people who are sick and tired of you asking for it go, okay, fine, we can put them all together. No, I'm just kidding. So that's alignment, and I would love to see other ministries eventually come to this sort of gathering, too. I'm going to give you so much updates from the bigger church stuff that you're going to feel like, wow, I was at the elders meeting. No, you weren't. You were not there for 9 hours. But I will tell you the important things you need to know from what I think is the elders meetings or the deacons meetings. This is your alignment line to our congregational life and our church. It's so crucial. And our senior pastor knows it because we don't have fast communication down the trains. You know what I'm saying? So one time we had a meeting on a Tuesday, and they said, okay, tell everyone this. So, okay. So that following Saturday was my student ministry, actually at the time was my youth ministry prayer meeting. So guess what on Saturday? I told all like 25 people in my teams. And then the following Tuesday they said, okay, you know what? Change your mind. I said, you can't, I know you can do that because most of us haven't moved on it, but it's gone. I've already disseminated, I've already impassionately told people why we're doing it. So you can't, so I think that's forced everyone around me to go, oh, Enoch's really, Enoch pushes information out pretty quickly, or tries to. So hopefully helpful information. So that is what I want this to be, alignment. So that's the idea. Two is synergy. Synergy, I would also say, is fellowship. I think some of the best times is when I watch people just eat a bao in one hand, cup of coffee, or, chai in the other hand, and they're just talking about their ministries. And, just getting everyone in the same room, in the same mode of prayer, things will happen. Spontaneous, let's go to lunch. Spontaneous stuff like that can happen. Or just talking about different ministries. Or what if hospitality team wanted to do guest ushers and they'd just be here and they'd go, hey, let me go grab Calvin and Matt Thompson right now. And just, here. And stuff like that. So that's kind of what I want to see for synergy. It's a space eventually for our leaders to come together literally in the same place and actually share ideas and just encourage each other. And I don't even mean have a meeting. I mean just in the same room, okay, praying and worshiping and stuff. So that leads to efficiency. Okay. The bigger the organization, the more overhead or waste there just is. Okay? The more people in your family, the more food you waste. You don't really waste food when you're by yourself because, I paid for that, right? Because I'm going to eat that, right? But if you cook for 10 people, there's just more stuff. And so when I got here, there were no meetings for teen staff, no meetings for TBR staff, and no meetings for Sunday school staff. It was all just kind of maintain things. That's the culture of most churches, let alone Chinese churches. Okay? Just do your thing. So then I wanted to connect with everybody. So I actually had to form a monthly meeting of all these groups. That was kind of demanding. And then I thought, hey, it'd be so much easier if I could get them all in the same place. But wait, I can't lead all their meetings at the same time. Oh, doesn't Ephesians say I should equip people? So it took about 4 years. But from the day that the idea kind of popped in my head to a couple years later, we had in sort of place the beginning of what we would call a lead staff, lead counselor for various departments. That actually I'd run meetings with agendas frequently enough that it's scary when I say, can you lead the meeting? You're like, oh, but if I say, here's the agenda, can you just go through it like we do every month? They go, okay, yeah, I can do that. In fact, we don't need you, I guess. So it's creating structures and systems, so being efficient. It's also being efficient because, at least for this season of life, sometimes there's spouses or significant others or friends that are also in meetings. And so there was a season when Teen Conference had so many babies. I was talking to Emily. We had all the private rooms were filled up with babies. Because all these counselors, this is like Yvonne, Grace, Joanne, everyone's having kids. And so we had all these things. And so when Peter, Catherine, Chiz were here, the fact that you could be both having your meeting and then you're both done at the same time, does that make sense? That's sort of the idea. If you're trying to get together with your friends at church and they're in another ministry and you're a different ministry, but you all have different ministry meetings, not only do you lose synergy, it's like, how about Tuesday? Oh, my small group has a core meeting that night. Well, how about Saturday? Oh, I can't. My worship team has practiced it. Oh, So we're never going to be able to get all the meetings on the same day unless we buy South Cove and other things. But we can at least try to be a little more efficient. Does that make sense? And I really do desire leaders on each of these teams. Okay? A lead person for these things. So that's efficiency. Okay. Moving along. So you have to raise up a leader. So number four. So number one is alignment. Number two, synergy. Number three is efficiency. Number four, this is totally not going to be worth Crossroad people to listen because I'm speaking way too fast. Icky. I-C-H-Y. I'm cheating here. I would like these meetings. This is the harder sell. I would like everything that happens, at least the parts we oversee directly, the prayer and this content, to be inspiring, compelling, and helpful. Okay? Icky. Okay? I stands for inspiring, St stands for compelling, and H stands for helpful. And I didn't want to say ick, so it's icky. Okay? And the Y stands for yeah. No, I'm just kidding. This is not a meeting you have to go to because your ministry leader called it. In fact, most of my meetings, as we do more stuff, I don't really make them mandatory. If I have to make them mandatory, two things are wrong. Number one, the commitment level is not the same. Number two, if they come because I tell them, then my meeting must not really be worth it in their time. You've been to those meetings. You've come because you're a good Christian person, maybe even a good Christian Asian, submissive, right? But I just truly desire to not waste anyone's time or my time, okay? Therefore, I would like our training topics to be the kind that if you miss this meeting, you kick yourself. Not hard, just kind of lightly, because that sounds like such a good topic. Now, maybe I don't do a good job teaching it, but that's different. So I really want these meetings to be helpful, okay? To that degree, if you have topics, now we have a monthly slot to put them in. We did for a few years these Saturday, all-day Saturday things. We had two or three trainings like that. We brought in Walter, Tony Kim, did small groups. We did one on listening. We did one on vision. It was just, but I think it was like killing people with too much content in one day. And I talked way too fast. And you have to understand, I only gave about half my content each time. I'm just going to kill you. So I would rather do small bite-sized things every month, where your month you get something helpful, you could try it in your small group. Okay? For example, I might teach on the importance of starting and ending on time. And that's worthy of a whole session. I have to convince us all it's important, why it matters to newcomers that show up, they're the only ones on time, because they're new. And they also think it's ending, but everyone else knows what's going on, and they're looking at their watch wondering, it's like 11 p.m., why aren't we done? And stuff like this. So, and then you could try it. You could, the whole core could say, okay guys, whether it's a Friday night schedule, you know, or whether it's a small group, we will commit. If we keep starting at 7:45 instead of 7:30, let's just say we'll start at 7:45. Oh, okay. So that's what I want this stuff to be. Does that make sense? I really want this to be very helpful. Now, bite-sized things like that won't necessarily help the first month. But if we do this for months or even a year or two, if you get 15 to 20 of these, I'd like to think they're helpful. Okay? If they're not, we'll stop them. Trust me. I don't want to waste your time or my time. But we really want to be helpful. So that's icky, you know? So how can we do this? And then lastly, prayer. I have an addiction to prayer meetings, which is to say this. After the fix, I feel much better. I confess. After the prayer meeting has happened, and I've seen people pray, yeah, like that. After the prayer meeting, I wish I could say I'm addicted to prayer by praying a lot. It's more like I have a dependency on prayer meetings. My anxiety level, my sense of, okay, God, at least we did the one main thing you're calling your church to do. Not that we check it off and now we can ignore prayer. But do you know what I mean when I feel like both in our schedules as well as with, we're not just talking, we're actually doing it, we prayed together. I just feel better. So it's all for me, sorry. After we pray, I always go, okay, you know, whatever meeting you're going to have, whatever hard issues you're going to face, it's not just a psychological, I really believe in the power of prayer. So those are the five things. A stands for alignment. S stands for synergy and good food. E stands for efficiency. Icky is cheating. I stands for inspiring. C, compelling. H, helpful. And then the last thing is prayer. Prayer! Not yeah, okay. So I wanted to have a good a topic that would be like, oh, my first topic, I was telling Karen, the first topic has got to be awesome. But I said, no, the first topic should be the basic reason why you should even come to this, I hope, in the future. So there's going to be bumps in the road. I hope you can see that's why it's helpful to get in at 8:45 just to be here, even though we start at 9-ish. No, start at 9. And also that I do want to let you out because the student workers, I basically re-added a component I haven't done for many years. So now, instead of starting your meeting at 11, having rolled in about half an hour late and eating for about 40 minutes. Now we're going to start at 11, but having rolled in at 8:45 and praying and then eating for about 15 minutes. So we're actually eating with fewer, more people, less time. It's kind of worse, but that's okay. So I just want to, I know it's a little past 11, but we're almost done. I just want to, is there a question on this? Pushback question is fine. Things like that. But just next month's meeting is the 7th. Okay, it's not Veterans Day. Veterans Day is the following Monday, the second weekend. So we hopefully won't run into, is that right, the 7th?
I think the
2nd
through the 4th, that's the first weekend.
Oh, okay. Okay, the whatever. I know it's not a holiday. That's all I know. At least according to my calendar. 3rd, oh, even better. It's definitely not Veterans Day. Okay, so the 3rd, thank you. You guys are leaders. Yeah, okay. So the 3rd. So please make it to that. We'll do our best to give you timely updates. And by the way, if you read this prayer stuff, you will actually have a pretty good pulse of our whole life stage congregation. Yeah, because children are technically church-wide, and yeah, and this is all the weekly groups. Family groups don't meet quite as weekly yet. So any questions or... I'm really excited about this meeting. This is probably going to be my favorite, most important meeting of the month. If this group and the people that join this group, you know, we can catch a fire of what the Holy Spirit's doing to get excited and really helped, equipped, I think it'll make our ministries better. That's really what this purpose is. I don't know if Crossroads is going to still meet in those first Sundays of the month. I don't know what happens if we start adding, like, worship team or other core things here and stuff. I don't know the future. My suspicion will that Saturday morning will be difficult once we add parents with children here. And I look at most churches, they seem to happen on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. That's what most of the churches get larger. And actually, at that point, we might not plan here. It's just like a training and prayer thing. And then at that point, if you've got like 400 youth workers, they might have to have their own, you know, planning thing on another side of the thing. So, 400, about there. Okay, so any questions or thoughts? Yes. Okay, yeah, alignment is partly training, but it's about, well, not to be like too boring or kind of wordy, but I think there's value alignment, philosophy alignment, organizational culture alignment, theological alignment, strategic and directional and preaching alignment. So I mean all those things.
Sorry, if I can be specific.
Yeah.
You said you'll give a piece of paper to someone and then they'll lead a meeting? That's
not alignment. That was actually about how I raised leaders.
Okay.
Yeah. So, do you want that paper?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Sorry, I went by fast. Yeah, no. I was saying how if the meetings are all in different places, I have to lead them.
Okay.
And I shouldn't be leading them because I'm not equipping them. So I wanted people to run their own meetings, which means I have to identify a leader, which means I have to create a path for some person to grow in leadership. As opposed to, here, you just run the meeting now, but you don't have a plan, there's no set kind of things to talk about, there's no structure, and then whoever is in charge of that meeting, which I know this is sort of how reality is, you look at who's in charge of that meeting, and you know it's going to go good or less good. You know what I'm saying? Okay, sorry, that's just because we haven't trained them. Okay, and I don't even think it's their fault. If anything, we put them in their positions, and we need to take responsibility and equip. So we don't do any systematic equipping of leaders in this church, basically. At least the English ministry doesn't. Like systematic, ongoing, real, the kind of thing that makes other church leaders jealous. I wish they did that at my church. That's what I want your friends to say at the other churches. Not because I want them to be jealous, probably, but because I really want it to be that helpful. I want it to be that helpful for you guys. That's the vision. So pray for us and help us. Does that answer your question? Okay, yeah. Sorry about doing a flyby and breaking to the speed limit on that. Any other thoughts? And this is new. So we're just trying it out, but yeah. So I think we're Crossroads joining us. You know, I'll be checking with Phil, let you guys know, and you guys give each other feedback. But basically, I think we'll try this for a little bit, and if it stinks, tell us. We'll figure something out. We'll figure out what's making it smell bad and stop it. So, but with that, I'm going to release you now, 7 minutes late. So I believe most of the rooms up here are available for us. So if your core wants to meet, some groups can meet here. I guess going forward, we'll have to have set rooms. It'd probably be faster than everyone bumping into each other or running to get their favorite room. I think preferably if cores can, if maybe two or three cores can hang out here, that would work too. But the team fellowship meeting, definitely we need a table because we have an agenda stuff to go over. So I don't know about twigs and stuff. Okay? Is that cool? All right. So thank you very much for being here. When people ask you, what'd you do? You say, we did, yeah. You say, we prayed, and then Enoch shared a little bit of the vision for what this meeting will be like, and he let us out just a few minutes late. So thank you, guys. So have a great meeting. If you're going, have a great day. If you're sticking around, have a meeting. Teen Fellowship, you're with me. I'm covering for Matt Thompson today, which is what I can do when I don't have to cover for other meetings. Yo. I mean, that's first under him. I think the family fellowship, for a variety of reasons, has two engines or two pieces. The first one is the existing families with kids, and the other ones are coming out of these ministry structures. So there's a new generation of people with kids now, you know, Matt, Sue, Emily, Steve, and stuff, that will have come out of the structure. And so I think you have to do it on two fronts. You got to work with these guys and say, okay, we need to carve out space so that we can do family stuff, and over here we need to figure out the best. So I think they're just different groups right now. They're different. They're friends, but they're different target groups with patterns entrenched. And I think this has to be strong before we can, because if they're the busiest people, this has to be really good before we make them show up at a meeting like this. So, and I just don't know if that'll ever work given the families. Family ministries typically don't run weekly because it's too, I mean, unless it's like a women's Bible study like Grace Chapel. So, and that's really, I would talk to Philip first about that. But even now there are no, strictly speaking, when we say family small group, we don't mean the same as the teens or college or Crossroad. When we mean those small groups, they're under our system. I mean, twigs are the twigs, right?
Yeah.
But the family small groups, sometimes they do sermons, just whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're pretty independent.
Right, so.
And even meeting twice a month, it's pretty different.
It's hard. And part of that, though, has to do with making the other ministries not burdenable. So, for example, if other ministry meetings eased up potentially, then maybe families could go. Or, as one model is, family ministry has joint events, but often it's more like a men's group and a women's group, so childcare they can switch off. That's a very common model, but we'll see. So, does that answer your question? The answer is I don't know. The answer is, this: if this isn't good, we'll have to figure this out. But
right, because yeah. They're the most